Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit, and I love him, and he loves us. His return is imminent, folks. There has never been a time in the history of the church that the Lord is so close to returning. And I love him. I thank God for him. I thank God that Jesus is about to return and take his people with him. And I want all of his people to go with him. He said, tell my people my return is imminent. Be ready that they be not left. And I'm thinking about it, you know, the glory. Last night I went to bed thinking about the glory of God. One minister I love to, a man of God that I love to listen to is Henry Groover. And he went to a church to preach, but he really didn't get to preach. this church was singing a song. Now I forgot the name of the church where it was, but he talked about it, and I listened to that video from time to time. And they were singing a song, asking God to bring the glory down. See, if you listen to the right people, sometimes you'll learn things that you can't learn any other way. I didn't know this about the glory. I never connected the dots. But they were singing the song, Lord, bring down the glory. And they would, and the people that were sincere were that's what they were believing for, but they didn't know what would happen. And the Lord spoke to Henry Groover. He's sitting up there in the pulpit next to the pastor near him. And the Lord said, tell them to stop. You know, the mind of the mind of any Christian, you don't want to stop the glory coming down. That's just. And so Henry Groover looked around to see who was talking to him. He thought it was somebody trying to fix the mic or something. And then the Lord said, tell them to stop. He looked around and he said, Lord, is that you? He said, yes. The Lord said, yes. Are you going to tell them to stop? He said, if my glory come down, half of them will die because there's sin in the camp. And he got up to the microphone and he even admitted he was going to just politely tell the people to stop. But out of his belly, he said, stop it. And they stopped. Then they explained that there was sin in the camp. And if the glory came down, half the people would die. When I first heard that, that was something that I forgot about. How in the Holy of Holies, the priest would go once a year into the Holy of Holies to present, you know, to represent the people and do his priestly work in the Holy of Holies. But he had to have a rope tied to his leg, and he had bells at the bottom of his garments. When the other priests didn't hear the bells anymore, they pulled the rope and drag out his dead body. The bells let the other priests know that he was still alive. If he went in the Holy of Holies unworthy, he'd die. If he had sin in his life, he'd die. If his sin wasn't covered, and if his heart wasn't pure with God. Now, we're talking about the return of the Lord. We'll be like him. We'll see him as he is. In John, I never thought about how, when we said, you know, I said, I used to think, well, everything that we don't fix, everything we don't get right, when we see Jesus face to face, we'll be perfect. Our mind will be just as perfect as our spirit. And our body, we'll have a brand new body, so we can't die anymore. You know, but it's more than that. First of all, when the glory comes, hear me good, because I love the people of God. Hear me good. When the glory comes, whatever condition you're in, that's how you'll be. When the glory comes, if you're right with God, you'll embrace his glory. If there's sin in your life, you will run as in terror. There's only one or two ways it's going to go. When the Lord comes back and raptures his people, the dead in Christ will rise first, and then the Lord is going to take his people off the earth. And they're going to meet the Lord in the clouds where the glory is. If there's sin in their life, they can't go up there. That's why Jesus said, be ready. That's why Paul wrote, be ready. Now we're nearer to his return. Every person needs to be ready. Not because this is the thing. It's not. And when Paul wrote this, the return of Christ was a long way off. But people die every day. Everybody needs to be ready. Everybody needs to live for the Lord at all times. Not just so that they won't die because they can't live in the glory. We're also commanded to let our light shine and be the salt of the earth. We're supposed to be effective. We're supposed to be living the life that God gave us. He didn't save us so we go back and live like the world. There's no reason for anyone to sin. Sin is something that shouldn't even exist. It's not important for sin to be. It was never God's intention. And the Lord knew one day somebody was going to do something just like Lucifer. He saw where things were going. And I believe he designed Lucifer to prevent the fall, but he caused the fall. He was the first sinner. And then the angels that followed him had sinful appetite. And their logic, their hatred is something that is hard to comprehend when you love God. It's a jealous, a vicious, jealous hatred. That, and all it desires to do is kill, steal, and destroy. It started off wanting pride, but it turned into something else. Satan is worse than when he first started. And over time, he gets worse. Because sin gets worse. And I've seen the effects of it. One representation of what sin does to a person is crack cocaine. And I live across the street from a drug house where they sold drugs. And I seen enough stuff. I would love to just forget about it because I saw a lot of misery. And the more people take drugs, the more addictive it is and the less rewarding it is for them. What that does to a person is just, and what they'll do for drugs is just, it's a shame. You talk about seeing people brought to a piece of bread. And I've heard about people doing things that's just bring tears to your eyes, what they'll do for drugs. And people shouldn't do people that way. But that kind of hatred, the hatred of Satan is something that's beyond the hatred of Hitler or the hatred of racial hatred, both ways. I've seen people have racial hatred. That's nothing compared to satanic hatred. And racial hatred is crazy. I don't like it. I don't like when people speak anything against anyone. I don't like for people to talk about God's people. And I love to see people happy in their family. I love to see families of all races having a good time at the park with their family and their children. One thing that every race on this planet have in common, they love their children, and I thank God for it. And you know, to me, there's nothing. The only thing more beautiful than family love is the worship, is when man worships God. And when the Lord taught me to love his people, I saw the beauty. I saw his heart towards man. And I can't get involved in that kind of foolishness. I hate racism in every way. I don't like it when people talk about people because of their culture. And Jesus is the only way out of this. And then people say, well, what about people that hadn't heard? Well, why don't you tell them if they haven't heard? Are you praying for them? Or are you condoning them in their deception? All the other religions in the world is fake religion. It's deception. It arrived from men and Satan, demons, to distract men from Jesus. Remember something. If sin entered the world through one man, the word says sin, one man destroyed, took away our sin, and that's Jesus. It's everybody's duty who believes to let people know. Well, what about people that hadn't heard? The Lord knows how to judge people that haven't heard. But if we don't get the gospel to them, they're going to die in their sin. And that's not good. So a lot of people, millions of people, they won't have a chance. They've given in to demonic doctrines. And then the fool says in his heart, there is no God. Then they do crazy stuff. They always do crazy stuff when they say there's no God. Then there are people that just don't know, but they love everybody. And they seek to live a clean life, but they need to know the word also. Satan is not, he don't play fair. When you preach the gospel and tell people Jesus is the only way out of this, you did them a favor. A lot of people will say, well, what they want to go to, what about this? What about the Muslims? What about the Buddhists? What about the ancestor worship? And they want to include everything. Look, a lie is a lie, and the truth is the truth. The lie is going to be the lie tomorrow, and the truth is going to be the truth tomorrow. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Now, the Lord knew people would argue, and they have that. You know, I told my children, I said, don't underestimate deception. Everything looks good from a certain point of view. But when you have the truth, you see what God sees. And that's the problem with deception. You can't just excuse it and act like it's not there. And you can't just go around telling people that they're wrong, like I just did, because they'll get offended. But you can live the life before them. And they're going to want to know, how did your daughter get healed? How did you get healed? Why aren't you upset because you were done wrong? And they're going to know, you don't have to tell them you're a Christian. If you just live the life, they're going to figure it out. Now, I got saved at the first job I had at Food Giant in Huffman. I went to work one day, a sinner, and I got saved while I was at work. I clocked out a Christian. That Friday, it was the third Friday in May, 1983. But every job after that, I said, I'm not telling anybody at work that I'm a Christian or a preacher. I'm gonna let them tell me. If I'm living like I'm supposed to, they'll tell. And it happened. It always happened. Why? Because the light that God gave me to live by. Light solves doubts. Light solves arguments. No matter what people say, when you live like Jesus, and that's a life that's impossible for a sinful man, we fulfill the law because we received his salvation and we received his love. Because we received salvation, we have the ability to walk in all of his love. All of it. the agape love of God. And see, people don't preach these things this way because they were not taught it the way I'm pointing it out. The Word teaches it that way, but they see it, people see the Word according to how it's been introduced to them. Unless, when the Lord told me to read chapters instead of verses, I began to see more. So people prove their point. They find something in the Bible and prove their points. That's why they don't know God right. They're getting somewhere, just like I was. I got saved in 87, and the Lord taught me many things before 1990. But it was the fall of 1990, in October, or maybe even September, when the Lord told me to. It was October. He told me to read 5 chapters in the morning, 5 in the middle of the day, and 5 at night. And when I did that, when I obeyed God that way, I began to see what I didn't see. So, when this happened for me, I started growing in greater ways. And the Lord started dealing with me in greater ways. And he taught me things. He taught me that you can't, when it comes to lust, a lot of men have a problem with it. Temptation, lust, problems like that. But you can't lust after a woman when you have the agape love of God in you. And see, when I didn't know that, it was a problem. When the Lord pointed out to me, I knew how to, I saw what to do to change the problem. He taught me to love the women that's trying to tempt me. And it worked. He taught me to love everybody. And then I could see their side of things. And I could appreciate the Lord and his handiwork in his people. I saw the goodness in people that God put there when he created them. See, every person is a creation. They've never been before. So God put something in their spirit. And I put it this way. We were designed to live forever, and the Lord gave you multiple talents that will rise to the surface over time. Everybody is well capable of many things. In this life, a man can have a thriving career, sometimes 2 or 3. In just a man's life, we live a tenth of what Adam did. More or less. But we can still become a doctor, an engineer. I became a mechanic. You know, if I wanted to, I could go and become a doctor in 8 years. I don't want to, but I could. So you see, there are talents in you that will surface over time. Abilities that God, if you're designed to live forever, you're going to need to know some things. So God put things in you, curiosities and abilities, gifts, and most of them go untapped. But what he needs the most, if you're in a circle of love, that's when it's enhanced. And children that grow up in a loving home, they're more apt. They're more apt to bring their gifts to fruition. Now, what I mean by a loving home, I need to define it. I'm talking about parents that don't do everything for their children. They teach their children and they train them in the way they should go by living the Word of God before them and encouraging the love of God and teaching them God's ways. You know, the Old Testament said the Lord, they wrote scriptures on the pots and on the walls, and they put the Word of God before the children. And see, you can't just teach your children the ways of God. You have to teach them how to drive out the darkness of the culture and of the neighbor's children. The enemy will use anybody that love the world to influence your children. So we have to receive God's word and drive out darkness. And so do they. And we have to teach them to do it. We have to teach them the Proverbs. I taught my son, don't make friends with an angry person. The Proverbs said, don't co-sign for people. I showed them what to watch out for so that they won't get bit by unnecessary traps. And it's up to them to carry it out, but I did tell them. So the thing is this. You have to drive out darkness. When the Lord returns, he said not one mistake will be made. People that he take the people that he that they get raptured, they were right with him. And people that are left should have been left. They were unrighteous against Christ. There will be men that still lust after women. The Lord taught me something about that too. He said, the kind of people that would be raptured are the kind of people that if they were in Adam's position all over again, they will not eat off the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And then he said this. He said, in order for a man to eat off of God's tree, God said, don't eat off this tree. The day you do, you should surely die. And a person that will eat off of it anyway, they can't do it unless they have a leaven of hatred. Think about this. Jesus said, forgive, or your Father will not forgive you. People that's caught up, when the Lord comes, people that's in unforgiveness, so to speak, it can be over one person. They can't go. A lot of people hate the presidents. Some hate Obama. Some hate Donald Trump. Some hate Biden. Some people hate Hillary Clinton. Some people hated Bill Clinton. I'm glad that the Lord didn't come back then. All it takes is for you to have unforgiveness against one person. If you don't forgive, neither will the Lord forgive you. Think about this. Well, I think that, okay. You think this. You think that the media, I remember one thing the presidents did. They said what they would do. And then the media would tell you what they said. They'll twist every word that they said and make you think something else. So, and I saw this happening. Henry Gruber said the same thing. I picked it up a long time ago. I saw them do Bush that way. They did Obama that way. They did Clinton that way. I used to listen to the speech and turn the TV off. I still do. I want to hear what he has to say himself if I'm going to vote for somebody. I'm trying to do my patriotic duty and vote for the best person. And they don't always do what I want them to do. But you have to respect the office. I don't know why people make it so hard to do that. When Jesus walked the grounds, he didn't go around bashing Caesar. You know, all these things people do, it's not good. It's not good to hate people. You can disagree with, if you really bother about what they do, just don't vote for them. But don't hate them. If they're in office, pray for them. Or at least don't be in strife with them. Because the enemy will try to hold you back with the legality. See, the Lord knows what he's doing. Jesus forgave us, and we need to forgive others. What they do is irrelevant. But they're ruining the country. Of course they are. When they're wrong. And sometimes they were not ruining the country. People just thought that they were ruining the country. But see, the thing is, that whatever they did right, they're going to be rewarded for that. And what they did wrong, they got to pay for it. Now, I'm trying to get people out of the judgment process. I don't want a man to die with all the sins in his bones. I don't want President Clinton to die with sin in his bones no more, just like I wouldn't want Trump to die with sin in his bones. when Jesus forgave them. I'm not concerned about what they did. I don't like some of the stuff that people have done, but my heart's desire is that everybody get to know the Lord, and then they can laugh at the devil. But some people are going to get caught up in the wrong thing, and they're going to think that they're all right, and they're not. And when they die, the devil's going to scratch their eyes out. The people who follow witchcraft, they think they got some kind of deal with the devil. They're wrong. The devil's going to turn on them as soon as they die. They get thrown into the lake just like everybody else and tortured just like everybody else with them worms, with the spiders. You know, one lady, the Lord took her to hell. Two ladies, really. And they said the same thing. That was a snake the size of a train torturing people in that realm. I seen hell, but I didn't see the lower parts like they did. I saw people falling in it. In other words, the fire is bad enough, but the other stuff is worse. And people don't need to go, but rebellion will go. Sin will go. Sin disconnects us from life. And sin can't exist in the glory. In the glory, people die. You want your heart to be pure, not just so that you'll live forever, because it's the right thing to do. Sincerity begets sincerity, while leaven begets leaven. This morning, the Lord gave me a feat, Judges chapter 12. And he told me something very interesting. And listen to this. The men, Jephthah had just won a great victory for Israel in chapter 11. Now here are some Israelites, or fake Israelites, but they were Israelites. Now listen to verse 1. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. The battle's already won. They're upset because they didn't get any glory out of it. This is the second time the men of Ephraim acted that way. The first time was with Gilead. Gilead appeased them. See, but the generations get worse. Look back at chapter 8. Listen to this. This is when Gideon just won the war and the Lord excluded him because the Lord chose Gideon's army. And the men of Ephraim said unto him, why hast thou served us thus, this way, that thou cause us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. Now watch this. And Gideon said, and he said to them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian, Oreb, and Zeb. And what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated toward him when he had said that. They wanted prestige too. Now, this is a few generations over, because Abimelech became the judge, a self-appointed judge anyway. And then Israel went through other judges. Tola, the son of Puah, the son of Dodo, a man of Issachar. He dwelt in Shamar in Mount Ephraim. He judged Israel 23 years and died. After him arose Jair of Gilead, judged Israel 22 years. And he had 30 sons, rode on 30 ass colts. And they had 30 cities, which are called Havoth Jair, unto this day, which are in the land of Gilead. If you're Jewish, forgive me of the way I chop up y'all's words. Verse 5, J.R. died and was buried in Camel. Okay, so here we go again. That's about what? That's another generation. A new group of people are about now. By the time we get to the wars of Ammon. Now this is Judges 12 and 1 again. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together. A new group of people, younger generation. Men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said to Jephthah, wherefore pass thou over to fight against the children of Ammon, and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were in great strife with the children of Ammon, and when I called you, ye delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that ye delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon. And the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore then are ye come up unto me this day to fight against me? Then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim. And the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, ye Gileadites are fugitives of Ephraim. Among the Ephraimites and among the Manassites. So they had to fight and they won. And it goes on. But guess what? This is the beginning of the leaven of the Pharisees. The Lord told me that this morning. And what Benjamin did is the leaven of Herod. When they raped the man's concubine all night till she died. That's the leaven of Herod. These are the things to be aware of. Keep sin out of your heart and remain sincere. The Pharisees hated Jesus because they couldn't do what he did. Darkness hates light. I'm out of time.